So I'm going to pray again, and then we can open up. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this a beautiful morning that it is, Lord, just for the sunshine and the warm weather, Lord, and for bringing us here, Lord, just so many friends and all our brothers and sisters in Christ that we have grown so close to. Father, we just pray as you open up your word to us this morning, Lord Jesus, that you would speak, Lord. Father, that well, it wouldn't be me speaking, Lord. That would be just a failure, Lord. But if it's you speaking, Lord, there's something worth listening to. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts, Lord, to see what you would want to say to us, Lord. And we pray, Father, you pour out your Spirit, Lord Jesus, and that you would do a work in our hearts, Lord, that's beyond the natural, beyond what we can ever imagine or think could be possible, Lord. But that you, in a supernatural way, would just come into our lives, Lord, and do your work, Lord, in us. And so we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can turn over to John chapter 10 today. That's where we'll be at least most of the time. And I was this week a fan of looking up, you know, a lot of international news and stuff, and seeing a lot of what's going on in the world, you know, is quite interesting and quite stressful if you are looking at stuff and trying to figure out where things are going. You know, at least it can be stressful to people who are involved in that. And, you know, I was looking at the elections over in Egypt, the outcome of that, the results of the Arab Spring that's happened over the past year or so, and even with Europe, with Greece and Spain, Italy, just the Eurozone and all of that, and how it's affecting the global economy and how it may even come and affect us. You know, and it's just a lot of stuff's going on, even the elections that are going on pretty soon here in the U.S. and the outcome of that and where our nation's going and where we are in the world and where the church is and how that's going and just even how the church, at least in some areas, is really getting off base and getting off track. And you see some things going on within, you know, Christianity even there. It makes you sad. It makes you almost like, you know, what's going on, you know? And I just, you know, seeing that, and it's stuff that I look into and I see, at least in some sense of the word. I'm not an expert on anything in the sense of, you know, politics or world events or that, but, you know, just looking at the news and, you know, just as I was praying about, you know, this morning, the Lord would want to say to us, you know, I don't want to stand up here and say this is what I want to say, but, like, Lord, you know, what do you, if you were up there before, you know, us this morning, what would you say? And he brought me over to John chapter 10, and it was like, Tim, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And as the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. I laid down my life for the sheep. That's verses 14 and 15. So I want to go just a bit this morning through our Lord, the good shepherd. And just as we look at world events, we look at our own lives even, you know, I'm sure you could, you know, each person in this room can go off and name things going on, you know, just that have you on edge, or maybe you're wondering about, you don't know the outcome, you don't know quite where the Lord's leading us, or don't quite know what's going on around in our lives. And just for us to look at the Lord as our shepherd, that we're not alone in this. We're not, you know, trying to figure this out on our own, that we are following a shepherd who is still leading. It's not just a parable he talked about with his disciples back in the day, that we follow a shepherd who is leading, who is on the move in the world today, and that we get to have this privilege of following him. You know, that we're not just trying to make do in this world, but he's leading us through things. He's leading us, and we have this privilege as we go along in this life to see what he has for us and to be able to rely on him in that way. So I just wanted to read a few verses here, starting in verse 1, chapter 10. It says, "Verily, verily, or truly, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And then also down back to verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. On to verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And so just a few verses there, not the whole chapter. Don't have time or opportunity to go through all of that today. But so look at these things, you know, and I just love that the first section there, through verse 4, you know, is talking about calling his sheep out by name, leading them, that the sheep know his voice, they follow him. And this idea of us as his sheep, because he uses that, you know, analogy that he's the good shepherd, we're his sheep. And just that analogy that, you know, at least in that day and age, that culture, they knew very well. They knew, they had seen shepherds leading sheep their whole lives. As they knew exactly, the picture was very vivid in their minds. And so, as he says this, you know, I love that idea. And looking back, you know, in Exodus chapter 13 there, I love the idea because the children of Israel were going through the wilderness from Egypt. And they were on this journey, and it was God leading them. You know, Moses was the head of the nation. You know, he was kind of the spiritual guy, the leader. But he didn't know where they were going. You know, he knew that God was taking them, but he was as much in the dark about the details as pretty much anybody else. And it was God leading them. It says in Exodus 13, at the end of the chapter there, that the Lord was in a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of cloud by night. Off that. There we go. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. There we go. That's it. And just the idea, you know, for me to think about this, you know, if I was, you know, head of a household or just part of that nation there, you know, walking out and maybe having a bad day and being able to look up and say, there's God leading. You know, to walk out in the middle of the night, you know, wake up, something's going wrong with the kids or with your wife or whatever, walk out and there's a pillar of fire. Oh, there's God. He's here. He hasn't left us. We're not alone in this. You know, we're not left out here in this desert by ourselves, but here's God. He's leading us. You know, I always love that idea. It's like, Lord, man, I wish almost like I get up in the morning and there's like a pillar of cloud over my car, you know, or something. It's just that idea would be so awesome. I wake up in the middle of the night and there's a pillar of fire over your house, you know. But in a more personal way, you know, the Lord is doing that very thing in our lives. It's not that, you know, obvious at least to see, to look out and be able to see it above your car, above your house, or above the city or whatever. But we get to see the Lord as the good shepherd leading us in the very same way he led the people of Israel, but in a more personal way, because he leads us as he lives inside of us. You know, as a believer, he's no longer having to lead from outside, but he's come and taken up residence because, you know, we received him as our Lord and Savior. He's come up, taken up residence inside of us and gets to lead us from a more personal level. And so he is that good shepherd in that way. And so it's just as real as for that nation as they were following God, for us to be able to look at these things and see him as our shepherd and know he hasn't left us. We're not out in this life, in this wilderness, in this, you know, path we're on through life on our own. You know, we're not trying to get the GPS and figure out where do I go from here, but we're following a good shepherd. And that he calls us by name. It's not like, hey, you guys, whatever your names are, get over here. He's like, hey, I know you. I know your life. I know your situation. I know that your things you're going through. You know, and the shepherd would know each sheep, would know it in its particular, you know, tendencies. It would know, he would know just exactly what was going on with that sheep, you know. And so just like that, that he calls us by name and that he knows everything about us. He leads us out. And then he says, it goes before us. and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Now with, you know, goats and stuff, you have to herd them. You get behind them, and you have to, you know, basically make them go places. But with sheep, the shepherd leads them. It's just like, you know, with the Lord and us, that he's not behind us, you know, getting out the rod, trying to make us go places. But the idea is that he's out, you know, leading us through things, and that, you know, the path is known by him, though we probably have no clue, you know. I'm teaching through Mark with a youth group, and watching the disciples, watching how they interact with Jesus, and seeing what they do, it's often quite comical. You look at them, you're like, what are you guys doing? You know, because we know the whole story. We get the whole picture. We know what Jesus is doing, why he's there, what's going on. We get the full, you know, picture. But they were there, and they just didn't get it sometimes. You know, reading about Jesus as he's going from Galilee to Jerusalem, his mind is set on Jerusalem because the cross is there. He knows he's on a mission. That's where he's going. And he's telling the disciples, hey, you know, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be killed. And after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. And he's telling them very plainly, this is what's going to happen. And it says that they didn't get it. And they're afraid to ask him. And so they're completely clueless. And it's just like, I'm reading this, and it's just kind of funny to look at that. But then to think, you know what, how often am I that way? You know, we're on this journey of life. Jesus is leading us, just like he led his disciples, you know, through Israel. And we're going through places, and he's doing things. And we know the end game, because we know that we're here for his glory. We know that we're here, and we're going to heaven because we believe in Jesus. We have this hope of eternity. But along the way, I'm quite often pretty clueless, you know, and I don't know all the details very often until after it's already said and done. I look back and say, oh, Lord, that's what you were doing. That's what you were, you know, trying to do in my life. I didn't get that. It was frustrating me. It was getting me uptight. I didn't get it. But I look back and I'm like, man, Lord, you're good. You know, I see that. You're really good. And it's just like, you know, how my wife and I came together, you know, and the Lord did that. The years of me wanting, you know, a relationship and just waiting on the Lord, just like, Lord, I don't get it. I don't see what you're doing. And then looking back now, it's like, wow, I couldn't have planned a better way of meeting her and of, you know, the Lord bringing us through, you know, and it's just, it's a beautiful thing. But it takes us actually following. You know, it says the shepherd goes before them and the sheep follow him. It doesn't really do any good if the shepherd goes before them and the sheep don't follow him. You know, that just doesn't work very well. You know, what happened if Moses and the people of Israel are out in the wilderness depending on the Lord for manna every day, depending on the Lord for water from the rock every day, you know, so they could live? And the cloud by day goes ahead of them, or the fire by night leads them, and they just say, you know what, I'm set right here. We're going to stay put in this desert, not going to move. You know, that wouldn't work too well. You know, God's leading them, and they have to respond and follow. And that's our responsibility, you know, as the sheep, to have that trust in the Lord. That, hey, man, Lord, you're the shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. I'm not the one leading this. I'm not the one that is, you know, got all the details together or that's trying to make sense of all this. I'm not the one that has to, because you're my shepherd. I'm just the sheep. And so what it takes is a desire to hear, to know his voice, to understand where he's leading, you know. And you don't always know. It's often, you know, a lot of time of just being with him and praying and seeing, Lord, what are you doing? And it takes a lot of just that fellowship with him, which is it's almost like he does that just so we do fellowship with him. You know, he allows us to have that time of wondering and prayer and seeking him so that we get that experience just being close to him. You know, and it's a beautiful thing he does. And often, you know, in that, you start off so freaked out and so stressed, you know. But whenever I walk away from spending time with him, That's none of that. You know, it's just absolute peace because you spent time with your shepherd and you walk away like, this is my Lord. This is the God that I worship. This is my master. This is my creator. And he's got it. And so he's my shepherd. I'm just following him. Turn over to Psalm 27. A psalm I was reading last night. It's just something that I believe is the desire of a true sheep. Just words from David's mouth. Things that express, I think, a wonderful attitude. Psalm 27. I'll read the whole thing. It's only 14 verses. So it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said unto you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not your face far from me. Put not your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. For false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Now, you could do a whole teaching on that just one chapter right there. You know, Psalms is a beautiful book. But it is the desire of David expressed to the Lord in that chapter is so awesome, I think. You know, just going through and saying, Lord, my light, he's my salvation, whom shall I fear? You know, this is my shepherd. And my desire, the thing I desired is that I will seek after the Lord, just to dwell in his house, just to be there with him, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire at his temple. You know, and just the Lord, you know, it says in verse 8, you know, the Lord says, seek my face. And the response then is, okay, Lord, your face I'll seek. And just that little ending, even though it says, you know, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. So as the sheep, that's our responsibility. You know, that as we seek his face, the desire that's in our hearts should be for him, for his word, just to know what he's saying, to hear the voice of our shepherd calling, so that we can follow him. You know, it takes that waiting. Wait on the Lord. He's going to strengthen your heart. He is going to lead you in the paths that you go. You know, often with the children of Israel in the wilderness, they weren't always moving. You know, it says that the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud would stop in a place and they set up camp. That was where they stay until the Lord moved them on. And did they have all the answers of why God's doing that? No. You know, they were just following God as he led them through. You know, and just think of that, how beautiful a picture that is of God leading us through. You know, maybe you're at a time in your life where you're kind of setting up camp. You know, and that's where God has you. He hasn't led you anywhere else. And, you know, if you've been there before, and I have, at least, and sometimes it's like, okay, what's next? Where are we going next, Lord? And it's like, no, stay. This is where you are. And then there's times when he's moving us, and we're so stubborn or stuck in where we were before, and we're like, Lord, but I want to stay here. And it's like always the opposite of what he wants to do, it seems. You know, it's just the natural tendency. But this idea of following the shepherd, of having that faith to say, Lord, the reins are yours. You know, take over that driver's seat, Lord, and I'm going to just follow you. And this is, you know, adventure along with Jesus. Go back over to John chapter 10. And just a little comment here in the last verses we read was verses 27 through 30. It talks about our security in him. You know, in the middle of verse 28, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, the shepherd watches over us. You know, our security is in him. It isn't in a big bank account or in, you know, the right kind of insurance or the right kind of, you know, weaponry that nations trust in, or the right economy or the right leaders even. You know, there's a lot of stress in the world and worry about all this stuff. And it's, you know, obviously good to have good leaders. It's good to be responsible with your money. And it's good to be, you know, safe and wise in that. But to know that it comes down to not what we do for ourselves in the sense of that we have to be our own shepherd, but that he's the one watching out for the sheep, that he cares for us, that we are in his hand. And things may come, things may happen that no man on the earth can stop from coming. But it's not our problem to worry about. It's the Lord's. You know, we're his sheep. We're those that are following our shepherd. And so it's just a beautiful thing. You know, in end of Romans 8, you know, a very popular chapter, talks about, you know, who can separate us from the love of Christ? You know, can tribulation, all these things, can all this stuff, the world, separate us from that love? No, nothing can. You know, as the idea of our security in him is a beautiful thing. And so, just as we run out of time here pretty soon, what does the shepherd have to say to us? What does our shepherd want to say to us this morning? And just a few things, there's a bunch of things that we could go through. Actually, the whole Bible is what he says to us, so we could start in Genesis and move on to Revelation if you like, but that'd take a long time. So a few little things that I wanted to hit on. Turn over, you're in John 10, pages to your right, John 13, 13:34. This is a new commandment. I shall wait until you're all there. So John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And so, you know, family, you know, we're here, brothers and sisters. The heart of God, heart of our shepherd, is for us to love each other. And to show that, you know, and he gives example previously in the chapter, verses 13 to 17, you know, he had just washed his disciples' feet as an example of serving each other. And he says in verse 13 of John 13, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So the shepherd's desire for his sheep that they would love one another, to serve one another, to be not the one trying to be above each other, to lord it over each other, but to actually quite do the opposite of humbling yourself and becoming the servant of all. You know, just last Friday we were talking with the youth group about Mark chapter 9, verse 35, and you know, the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest or who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus sits them down and says, you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then be the least of all. Be the servant of all. You know, in the world, you are great because of your money, because of your power, because of your fame, because of your influence, because of how many cars you drive or the house you have. That's the measure of greatness. The power, the fame, the wealth. But in the kingdom of God is quite different. He takes their mentality and takes their idea of greatness, and just in that single statement of, you want to be great in the kingdom of God, this is how you do it. And it's quite different in the world standpoint. Want to be great in God's kingdom, you'd be the servant of all. You humble yourself. You get rid of all of that pride, all of that stuff that is so against the way of the Lord, and you serve, you love each other. And so, you know, one of the encouragements I want to just, you know, bring to you guys is that, you know, people are here, you know, a lot going on in each of our lives, a lot of stuff. And it's easy to come in and out of church and just to say hi, bye, smile, shake hands, and that's it. But that we as a body would love on each other, would take the time to minister into the lives of the people around us. To maybe we have a strength in an area where somebody else is weak. We can minister there. We can, you know, come together as a family, body of Christ. And Jesus says, you know, that there in verse 35 of John 13, this is how the world's going to know that you're my disciples. This is like the stamp, the mark on your life, is that you love one another, that you care for each other. And so as the world looks in, or maybe they come in, someone who's not saved, doesn't know Jesus, comes into this fellowship here, what do they see? You know, and outside, we're living our lives outside of just Sunday morning and Wednesday or whatever time you're here, what do they see in us? Are we also every day of the week loving Jesus? Are we following our shepherd? Are we loving on each other? And also, a next point here, turn over to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 15. 7, verse 15 says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit." So as his sheep, beware of who influences us. Beware of people that come into the church or try to influence our lives that might look good on the outside. Like he says, wolves in sheep's clothing that come looking good, but inwardly the message and the content of what they're saying or of what they're influencing us with is not good, you know. And even in the church, you know, reading a lot and looking into a lot of stuff with creation, evolution, different stuff with Answers in Genesis and Eric Hovind and all that stuff. And a lot of churches, a lot of people within Christianity have a hard time believing in the first 11 chapters of the Bible because of the whole evolutionary dogma we're taught in schools and is accepted popularly in science. And so when Christians come up against that, they have to choose, am I going to accept the popular idea or not? And so a lot of people have taken in and try to mesh the Bible with evolution. You know, they have a whole bunch of different theories and ways to try to do that, but every single one of them doesn't match up with Scripture, doesn't match up with the simple reading of what the Bible says, what God says. And so for us, beware of that. Beware of the doctrines that come. Beware of the ideas that don't line up with what the Bible says. You know, another thing is listening to my favorite half-hour audio segments called The Revival Hymn. You know, a lot of you have heard that before. It's amazing. Basically, it's taking snippets of different pastors and speakers and putting them together into this half-hour-long presentation. It's powerful. And one of the things that really struck me from that was how humanism has come into the church. The idea that the purpose of life is to please myself, whereas that's not Christianity. That's not the Bible. That isn't what God says. You know, the Bible says that the purpose of being, the end of all being, is the glory of God. It's to praise and to worship Him, for us to be glorifying God. And what's happened in the church oftentimes is that it comes in and says, hey, believe in Jesus so you can have a better life. So you can, what? Please yourself. All about me. I'm doing this Christian stuff so I can feel better. It's not about God. It's not about His glory. It's not about anything of that. It's about me. And so it's snuck in. It's become accepted almost. And I listened to that the first time, and it hit me because I hadn't seen it before. And I had been, you know, raised in a Christian church and taught the Bible and seen it, and just like, wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. I just hadn't seen it before. And so for us, beware of these wolves that come in and the doctrines and the things that are coming in that Satan's using to destroy the sheep. I could go on that forever. But turn over to Mark 9. We're actually not going to read all of this, but just the idea so you know where it is. Mark 9:43. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase these verses. So verses 43 to 48. And Jesus is talking about principles of the kingdom of heaven. And something very radical, it says here. And it says, if your hand offend you, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. It goes on about your foot offending you and your eye offending you. It's like, wow, that's intense. You know, talk about, you know, cutting off a body part because it causes you to sin. And some people, unfortunately, have taken it a bit too far and actually gone and done that. You know, and they found after they cut off their hand that they thought offended them. Thank you. That they actually still had the same desire to sin. That it wasn't the hand that was the problem. It was the sin nature that controlled the hand. The idea, I believe, Jesus is saying here is a very spiritual one. Is that to be radical with sin, to get rid of it as his sheep. You know, sheep deal with diseases, a lot of things that can be very deadly, you know, poisonous plants or just, you know, bacteria or whatever it is. And it's very important that it's dealt with radically so that sheep can survive. And so for us, you know, are there things creeping into our lives, sin issues? We know the Lord has said, hey, this isn't good. Even if it's not exactly a sin issue, but an area of compromise. Where it's just, you know, this isn't godly, this isn't, you know, maybe it isn't quite wrong, but it isn't drawing me closer to Jesus. The Lord says, hey, it isn't worth it. You know, we're not on this planet living for, you know, the greatness of the world, not living for wealth and fame and power and pleasure. We're living for the glory of God. So, hey, is there something that offends us, that is drawing us away from the Lord, that as a sheep is hurting us? Hey, cut it off, get rid of it. It's worth it in the long run. It's worth it in the kingdom of heaven. For us as his people, as we follow the shepherd, and beware of the things that are coming into our lives and we're accepting and allowing to be a part of us. And then lastly, a more encouraging note, just kind of using 2 Corinthians 5:7, walk by faith, not by sight. As we follow Jesus, just like a sheep has no idea where it's going, it has to trust the shepherd knows where the pasture is. Has to trust the shepherd where the good source of water is. If there aren't any wolves, they're going to come and attack the sheep. He has to know that and to have that trust in the shepherd. And so for us to be able to go and to say, Lord, I trust you with this, that Jesus, you are my shepherd. I walk by faith in you, by trust in my Father in heaven, not by sight, not by what I see around. Because if we get our focus and our lives set on things that are going on around us, it can make us some pretty freaked out sheep, you know. And it might be funny to see some freaked out sheep, but it's not good, you know. Have you ever seen those fainting goats? You scare them, they all fall over. You know, it's funny, but it's not good. You know, it's not a good thing. And so for us, we don't want to be that. We don't want to be the ones that are so overwhelmed with stuff going on, you know, or allowing ourselves to be affected by sin or being led astray by the wolves, you know, that are trying to lead us away from the shepherd, trying to get us away from the flock so we can be devoured. You know, for us, it's important that we walk by faith. Trusting him. You know, and a story I was teaching on with youth group was the story of this man who had a demon-possessed son. And he came to Jesus and he said, oh, Lord, if you can help us, then would you do something for us? And Jesus turned it around on him and said, well, if you can believe, all things are possible to them to believe. Because it's not a matter of if Jesus can do anything. But it's a matter of, hey, will you believe him so that he can? Will you let him in your life so that he can do that? And so, as for us, you know, the shepherd is leading on. Jesus is doing things in this world around us, in this nation, in this town, in the lives and the families of people around us. He is doing it. He's a God that does not sit still. He's at work. He's drawing men to himself. He came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. His work is not done. And he's not lost direction. He hasn't, you know, gotten sidetracked. And he hasn't given up leading his sheep. He's not just said, okay, go ahead and do your own thing. I'm finished. And so will we listen to his voice and pay attention to what's on his heart? You know, that desire to know, say, Lord, this is my desire. I want to hear what you say. So that when you call my name, when you lead me, I know, okay, this is the voice of my shepherd. You know, and he's called us, he's chosen us. This is John 15:16, that we may go out and bring forth fruit, to bring glory to Jesus, you know. And what a beautiful thing, the picture that is of us going out, not having to be our own shepherd, not having to, you know, make ourselves the people we need to be. But Lord, hey, you're my shepherd, you do it. And so as a body, as a family here, guys, let's love on one another. Let's pray and seek the Lord together as we come in Sunday and Wednesday and in your own personal time, whether you get together with people in the body or not, outside of church. Let's see what he has. You know, ask for a new filling of his Spirit to allow us to have the strength and the ability and the wisdom to follow him, because there's so much he wants to do. And I'm so excited. You know, the potential we have in this room is just enormous. And just to pray and to see, you know, what the Lord wants to do with this group here, and who he wants to show his truth to. You know, that we carry this treasure of the gospel in these earthen vessels, you know, these bodies of ours, and we get to go out and follow Jesus and show the world, hey, this is my shepherd, this is my Jesus, this is my Savior, this is my Father in heaven. And we have that privilege. So when we close that, you can all stand and we can pray. So Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our shepherd, Father. What a comfort that is, Lord, to know that and to be able to trust in that, Jesus. That we're not out here on our own, Lord. That you haven't left us, you haven't gotten off track, Lord. That you're still that one that's gone before us, that you're calling us by name and leading us out, Lord, into the things that you have for us today, Lord, even. And Jesus, give us that ear to hear your voice, that desire to draw close to you, Lord, in your word. And just to dwell so close to you, Lord Jesus, just by spending time with you, Father, that we could even more so get to know the voice of our shepherd, to be able to understand what you're saying to us, Lord, and be able to walk by faith, Lord, and seeing where you're taking us. And so, Father, we pray that you administer these things to us, Lord. Bless this time as we fellowship together around food. And we thank you for bringing us here this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So-